And I'm preaching from 1 Corinthians 12, preaching on God's design for you as a body member. Now I'm going to read the whole chapter, but the main verses are 5 through 31. Please listen as I start with verse 1 of chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, or when you were Gentiles, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And now 5 through 31 is the main section. And there are varieties of ministries, services, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healings by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he determines. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but it's many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand and I'm not a part of the body, it's not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it's not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer, very interesting statement Paul makes, that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. Prepare your heart for this sermon, God's design for each body member. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you bless us with your truth and your word here into our hearts to understand your design for each body member, which means those around us and as well as ourselves, that this would come forth for this congregation as well as spread out to others. It's amazing, important truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there are a lot of cultural influences out here in this world on how to understand church. Influences. There are a lot of things going on around us which influence the understanding, even dictate to you how to understand church. And added to it, There are centuries of layers of influences. And what has happened is that one of the most important facts about church is buried out of sight. And listen, it's this. It is that God designed the church. And really, every Christian should know God designed the church. It's all over the Bible. In our passage, God is showcased this way. For example, God gave the church the name, the body of Christ, and everything about that, what it means, God did. And when it comes to the spiritual gifts, the gifts are from a gift giver, right? The gift giver, who is God. And it says plainly, God himself actively and intentionally placed the members, each one of us, in the body according to his desire, his determination. And it says God appointed all this in the church. So just in this chapter alone, we see that church must be recognized as what God is actively doing, what he does, what he did. Now, the word church is ekklesia in the Greek. And the eminent scholar Moises Silva explains that in the first century, the word for church was used as its particle parts indicate, which is to refer to the called out ones. But also in its semantic range, it has lots of meanings. The word church was used as the assemblies or the congregations. And so the apostles used both meanings, and they adopted them to special Christianese, those called out by God in Christ, and also those called out by God in Christ who are joined together in an assembled community. The apostles referred to the church in its universal existence, expanding throughout the world. They also referred to the local church fellowship as a called out people of God in Christ who gather together physically as a spiritual community like we are right now. And it's all this according to God's design, function, and purpose. It's not just one of this, it's all this. But to clinch hold of this recognition, you must pay attention to the Spirit. And here, Paul is focusing in on the local fellowship. And the general picture is people come together as they biblically commit to being part of one another. Now, when it comes to any church fellowship, there has to be a desire to establish it. Now, the desire should be based on biblical principles, supposed to be. And as people commit to being part of it, some prayed about it, some visited, they became consistent. There are some things they don't like, there are things they do like. Could be preaching, could be the people, the atmosphere, could be the driving distance from their home, could have to do with children. So many things influence commitment. It could be that they received Christ there, or they were raised there. Various influences are involved in committing to a biblically defined church fellowship. The influences are very, very real. But they're actually in the background of what God says he is doing. God's active work is supernaturally in the foreground, bringing people together the way he wants to. And this spiritual realization, this true doctrine of the faith, needs to be realized. The Spirit is saying that you have entered into something that God is actively making for himself, and entering, you're part of the making process, you're part of what God is doing. So when Paul says there are all kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, there are various ways to serve, and the same Lord, and all kinds of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons, God wants you to understand his reason for you being here according to his design, function, and purpose in the body by his orchestrating creative activity. Look to him and you say this, now I understand. I thought I was only me. I placed myself here as I desired, but you're telling me that you placed me here as you desired. I see it now. I believe it. Things happen differently than the physical realm wants me to believe. You did the same with everyone around me. And now do this, ask him this. What do you desire me to do in my placement? And one thing he tells you is have basic respect. Know that every member of the body has intentional meaning given by God. Act like each is truly needed. Look around right now and say about each person, God gave that person some manifestation of the Spirit for my good, for actually the common good, the community good. And recognize that God wants his own work fleshed out through them and through you. So what it is, it's agreement with God. It's you for them and they for you. Don't be shallow, which means don't be immature. Respect that God placed all the people here to be body members just like he put you here. And respect also, it also involves looking to the people around you in regard to their manifestations of the Spirit. Think of the gifts and the ministries and the effects from the Spirit being somewhat like fruits from the Spirit. You know, fruits from the Spirit are described over in Galatians as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All saved people get those fruits. They come from the Holy Spirit. Well, the gifts and the ministries and the effects from the Spirit, like the ones explained in this chapter, they're very similar, but they're a little bit different. Take being healed physically. Not everyone receives this. All the gifts, ministries, and effects are distributed by the Spirit, it says, as God pleases. So when it comes to gifts of healings, it's plural, understand what they are, understand that it helps you. I've seen people interpret the phrase gifts of healings in verse 9 and 28 in many ways. To understand it properly, notice that it's gifts. It's not one, but gifts. And the reason it's not one gift is because it has to do with people receiving various kinds of healing from God as restorative remedies from him. And we've given praise this morning for him doing this so much in people's lives. Amen. Healings are gifts that are received from God. And it's like a word of wisdom, Paul mentions. It's something you receive. Word of knowledge is something you receive. Faith by the same Spirit, something received. And getting healed is a gift received. Now, the people God places in the body are also gifts. Each of us is a people gift to one another in the whole group. Each is meant to do something to benefit others. Each is meant to receive what is done. And since we know that we're meant to benefit each other, what do you need to do? Intentionally work to benefit the others here in this fellowship body that God has placed you in. God has made sure that he has equipped you in some way to do it. Now, I want us to think about the gift of faith. Paul mentions the gift of faith. But don't we all have faith? Yes. So what Paul is doing is he's talking about a gift of exceptional faith. It's exemplary faith that certain Christians have that others don't. Paul says in Romans 12, parallel chapter, that God has allotted to each Christian a measure of faith. So we all have a measure of faith. And Paul says there in Romans 12 that someone prophesies according to the proportion of his faith. So there's proportion. And Paul explains the same thing in 1 Corinthians 13, 2, saying, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, all faith. So think of it this way. Some body members have strong faith in respect to certain things, and you know who they are. And others have weak faith. And you may know who that person is because he may be you. So what God does in his creativity is he has someone with strong faith strengthen others, strengthen you, or if you've got the strong faith, to strengthen them, to inspire them, building them up in their own faith, which may be weak. And if you've ever had a faith problem, find strong faith people and ask them to pray for you. Or listen to them, you know, latch on to them because you're latching on to their faith words, their faith way. They have it. And likewise, seek to bless others with your own strength, whatever they are. It says in 14, 12, and 26, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the building up of the church. It says, let all things be done for building up. This is a directive to you and to me. Back in 8:1, it says, the gift of love builds up. You already know how to love the body. But for it to happen the way God wants, it's necessary to break out of the self-oriented pattern of cultures influence on how to understand church, and it's permeating everything in our generation. Act out in the church what the biblical revelation is telling you. This is the call in our day. Be purposeful about building up the body in some way. Be actually ambitious about it. You are told in Romans 12, that parallel chapter, that we are truly one body in Christ in this fellowship, and that we really are individually members of one another. And so if you have the gift of service, use it in your serving. But it also says, do it to the best that you can. So your true call is to do whatever you can to the extent you are gifted. Same way with teaching, exhortation. It's what I'm trying to do. It says, do it to the best you can to whatever extent you are gifted. Paul also says the person who gives needs to give with liberality, needs to give freely, needs to give a lot. Well, the scriptures teach that all are supposed to give. So what Paul is doing is he's telling you how to do it. And the one who leads, lead with diligence. The one who shows mercy, be merciful with a happy attitude. We're all supposed to show mercy. It says, be devoted to one another in love, give preference to one another in love, contribute to the needs of the people here, practice hospitality with them. It's about doing it to the best you can, which is to what extent? To whatever extent you are gifted. And he wraps it up by saying, think the same way toward everyone. Don't be prideful. Associate with people considered lowly. Now that's Romans 12 parallel. And here in 1 Corinthians, Paul takes this understanding of the lowly and launches it up into high altitude. He's getting across the need God knows that you have for what he puts together. So what you are experiencing is like the necessity of all of the human body to function for optimal health. And God came up with this. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. The head to the feet, I have no need of you. Paul says, on the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Question, is this your perspective? That the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Is this really your perspective? Are you acting like it is much truer? That term Paul used, it's much truer, he says, that they are necessary. In the church, a lot of members seem to be weaker than others. And really, the very fact that they are here shows that they are actually necessary for you and me. And that's why God has you together with them. So let's think about this statement, 23 through 25. Those members of the body we deem less honorable, on them we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Our more presentable members, on the other hand, have no need of such treatment. God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. This is what God wants. Your physical body naturally loves all of its body parts, no matter how important any one of them seems or unimportant. I mean, your body knows it's one big form. It's a system of differences operating as one sameness and togetherness. So remember, Paul has been tapping into the Spirit's revelation that we are the body of Christ created by God. And using your human body as a way of getting you to understand how you're supposed to be toward everyone around here. And the way to be one united body of members appreciating each other's necessity to make it what it is, you must love everybody equally. God wants the same love given to the popular, strong, dynamic people to be the same love given to the unpopular, weaker, average people, the ones that just seem to disappear. God sees everyone as important, and God has placed everyone here. He says it. And this is why understanding how important the body of Christ is to God needs to be at the top. God sees each of us as one big connected project he brought together. And so the Spirit says if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. But remember, false definitions of church will pull you away from the reality of this fact. And one problem is that after learning this, the cultural influence can get Christians acting like it's not even true. You are being informed of a fact that when one member suffers, you suffer with it. Do you want to know if culture has influenced you on this? Just ask yourself if you believe that if one member here suffers, then all the members suffer with it, which means that you suffer too. It doesn't matter whether you think you can sense it or not. Something about you is hurt along with them. And God designed it to be that you really suffer in some extended way when someone else suffers in their direct way in the body. And this is part of the need to be particularly sensitive to people here when they have direct suffering going on. Had the situation this morning. We're going to have to be uniquely sensitive to it. Treat their suffering the way that you want others to treat you when you're suffering. Help them. Pray for them. Reach out to them. Stick with them. And as you do these caring things, you share in their suffering in another way. And it's a way of edification. Okay, so follow what I'm saying. In other words, when they suffer and you seek to build them up, you now share in their suffering in your help. See? That's what's going on. You're sharing in God's design for the common good. He has you here for a reason. It's not just all about what you might have thought with culture's influence before. So these are reasons why Paul says if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, when someone is honored, they could possibly become prideful. That's not good. There are people who love being honored. They get into leadership positions because they like the honor. Their pride gets fulfilled, and it's wrong. But when other members have contempt towards someone who is honored, it's just as bad. They don't rejoice. So to counter this tendency, Paul says, just be glad for them. Be glad for it all. Be happy for them. And then Paul says something that is pure spiritual wisdom, that God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. And I think of Paul saying, power is perfected in weakness. And I think of the Apostle Peter saying, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you at the proper time. But Paul's point here, specifically, is that in the body, weaker members need more from everyone in respect to being helped by gifts, ministries, and effects. They need more. They need more nurturing. And so when those who are stronger apply more attention to the weaker, what happens? Neither the stronger or the weaker are left out in the function of the body, and it's working very well this way. The stronger are forced to be balanced because the Spirit is producing his fruit through them to strengthen the weaker. And this is why we even have these ministries and have these fruits. It's for others. And so the weaker ones are put in a place of honor because they are selected out for focus. This is what we're going to do more with this one particular person that has this crisis this morning. So what this does is it makes the same care for everyone exist because it's a matter of need. And remember, God says the weaker members are needed by the stronger. Something else, cultural influence, gets wrong. So as you look around at the people here, are you considering their importance? Are you considering their care? Are you considering that part of their care has to do with your intentional involvement? You know, it's the biblical way. And the balance of care needs to be consistent for each one according to their need. This is the biblical way. Be careful not to make fun of weaker Christians. You know, Christians who are weak in faith, weak in biblical insights, weak in their actions and in their language. You know, it's easy for Christians to gossip about certain members they deem less honorable. I've seen Christians deem them worthy of tearing down when they should be doing what they can to try to build them up. And simply ignoring them is very, very common. Again, it's not the spirit. It's the culture. That's the influence that's going on with that. Weaker brothers and sisters require a lot of work. They require long suffering. The whole body requires patience, folks. Be patient with everyone here, with me, with all of us. The urging is for all of us to share all of it with everyone. Do your part to manifest the Spirit for the common good. You do have some way to do it. You do have some way to serve. There are many effects that you can look forward to also, and you should also be receiving on your end. You should be also receiving from others. You know, the body is for you too. It's up to you and me and everyone here to resist the strange hybrid cultural influence on how to understand church in our day. Now, that influence misunderstands church. Act like God designed the church body, the familyness, the realness of this, the communityness. Stay in tune with God on something cultural influence has gotten so far away from it gets Christians acting like they no longer believe God on it. Agree and proclaim and act like God placed the members, each one of us, like he says, he's telling us in his word, you too, in the body according to his own desire. Doesn't matter what processes have been providentially at play in getting everyone here. Everybody's got their own story. What matters is that we're all the ones who are here. That's what matters. Catch that, because that's the profound truth. What matters is that we are all the ones here. And God says he placed you, me, and all of us other members, each one of us in the body, according to his own sovereign wisdom and desire, his determination. And knowing that, it's now truly up to you to show the respect to God for it and respect the members accordingly. Amen? Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray.